Good morning, and welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm Pastor Bruce Mulberry with At Liberty Ministries, and you can find us at www.heartsatliberty.com. It's a joy to be able to be with you this morning as we continue our deep study into Ephesians chapter 1 as we apply it to what God would have us do tomorrow. Those things that we do today, adding thoughts and dreams and visions and hopes to what we're going to accomplish tomorrow. I also have the joy of serving with Hopewell Community Church in Pottstown. Come and join us if you have nowhere to go this morning. Thanks for tuning in to WFYL 1180 on your dial. This morning, as we continue to explore the scriptures together on Dare to Dream, it's my hope, my prayer, that you've had the opportunity to read for yourself, not only one time, but to reread it even, Ephesians chapter 1. It is such a great study on God's plan. As we think about daring to dream, applying God's plan should be the center of what we're going for. Leading outward, leading people around you as you gather those to your vision, or as you join other visions that match your vision, whether it be a church or an organization that is out to bring praise to His glory, praise to the name of Jesus Christ. And it's all about the high calling that God gives us that's in His will and to His good pleasure. This morning, as we continue our focus on chapter 1, we'll be taking the last part of the chapter from verse 19 and following. It says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all." Father, as we open our hearts and minds up to Your word this morning, I pray the freedom of Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into truth. Thank You for His authority and power as He teaches us and guides us. Open what You would have for tomorrow in our lives today. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God is holy unto this goal, holy unto this vision, holy unto His plan. Using that word holy is a little different than maybe you've understood it to be before. Set apart is the real meaning of holy, and God calls us to be holy as He is holy, set apart for His glory. As we move forward with that, it's vision that takes us into our future. It's vision, it's like a magnet that will pull you towards your accomplishments and destiny, your goals, your vision, your plan. That's my prayer and why I've taken time to invest on Sunday mornings at 8:30. On WFYL, in order to share what God has given in my heart with you, prayerfully hoping that through our study together, Holy Spirit is able to empower you with the gift of tomorrow's vision, accomplishing and investing your time, talent, and treasure in those things that are most important in your life. And I pray that that's God. I've joined an international organization called Family Foundations International. One of the bylines is transforming families and blessing generations. One of my goals, one of my visions in life is to touch many, many people with the culture of blessing. And that culture of blessing is manifested as individuals, families, and communities are transformed by God's culture of blessing, empowering each to fulfill our destiny in a love relationship with the Father. It's sort of like having a mindset of a trust fund mentality. What do I mean by that? Let's say that you received the responsibility to administrate a trust fund for the generations following as the executor of the estate of your parents, who happened to be very wise financial planners and put aside a great deal of money. And they've taken you as that executor in order to become the trust executor. How you handle yourself, you're accountable to your family. And everything you do, you keep in mind for that trust fund in honor of your parents. Well, that's sort of our lives. The Bible says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not yourself, but you're bought with a price. Well, with that same concept, we have been given the trust fund of our time, talent, and treasure. That's the trust fund mentality. As we take the responsibility, we keep in mind that who gave us that trust fund, or who gave us that trust fund, and that's the living God, the God of creation, and he is mindful of me personally. As God of creation invests in me his good pleasure, I get to turn around and give my life back to him out of my good pleasure, because in that relationship with him, he brings fulfillment. That's a daily choice that takes us into destiny. Where are you in your destiny travels? As we've been studying in Ephesians, we find that God has predestined, given us a determined, predetermined point of arrival, and that's to the praise of his glory. I pray that each step you're taking today, tomorrow, and next week are plans to the praise of his glory. Part of a vision, part of our hope for tomorrow is we need fire in our soul, because out of that will burn the passion for us to make sacrifices, burn the passion to invest time, talent, and treasure to the fulfillment of that dream. Here's a pretty simple thought, but it's very clear. Fire goes out without wood. Your passion can go out without the fuel also. What is the fuel of your life? What is the wood? How are you in gathering that wood for your glory? For God's glory. Where are you? Do you have a lot of fuel? Are you ready to really burn with an extreme passion, to burn with a hope of tomorrow for the praise of God's glory? Or are you out trying to collect the wood and it's pretty scarce out there and you're feeling very empty? My prayer is that as you continue to build what God has for you, you will find that time, talent, and treasure is really being enforced with a lot of fire. For a little while today, we're going to be thinking about fire coming from our finances. Our finances sort of dictate to us what we can accomplish and what we cannot accomplish. Today, Craig Hill is going to just share with us a little bit from Family Foundation's point of view, what is being good stewards of our treasure. Craig, what's God saying to you?
Well, Pastor Bruce, I've been thinking a lot about finances, especially, you know, in this season where we're seeing in the economies of the world a lot of shaking, a lot of global things that are taking place, a lot of unstable areas, unstable things happening in finances really globally. And how does that affect us as individuals and as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's important to understand what are the foundations of finances. And we actually created a seminar by that name, Financial Foundations. I know that you've done many of them around the Northeast area, and I want to encourage people today to get a hold of that seminar, to attend one of those seminars. You can find out where the nearest one is if you go to www.heartsatliberty.com and contact Pastor Bruce. But, you know, many, many years ago, I was ministering in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and the Lord gave me sort of a little vision, just a picture that I saw in my mind about finances and how we view finances. And it was, I saw a huge snowfield up in the mountains with almost infinite supply of snow, because when we think about it, when we look at it, how much supply does God have for every one of us, any one of us? And the answer, most people would realize, is infinite. God has an infinite supply of resource. And if God has infinite supply of resource, why is it that most individuals and ministries and churches seem to have very limited supply of resources? In most churches and most ministries, is there more vision than resource, or more resource than vision? And I think most people would answer, well, there's usually more vision than resource. Well, why is that? If God has infinite supply, is God a withholder? Does God not want to release the resource? And the answer is no, of course not. God wants to release resource. Well, then what's the problem? And I found that many times it's like the river is blocked up. there's a dam in the river. There's blockage in the river. And so this picture that the Lord gave me was this. There's an infinite snowfield, infinite resource of water up in the snowfield, and three rivers that were coming from this snowfield. And there were three families that lived along each one of these rivers, and each family had a totally different perception of water. And, of course, in this analogy, water would be synonymous to resources or money, finances available to accomplish a vision. And so along the first river lived a family whose perception of water was this. There just is never quite enough water to meet your need, and you have to be very, very careful with water. And so what this family did, because of the fear in their heart, we're going to perish for lack of water, this family put a dam in the river. And they accumulated any water that came down that river, and it made a lake in front of their house. And no water flowed down the river for anybody else to use. Any water that came down that river stopped right at this house and was accumulated behind the dam. Now, what would happen if you put more water down that river? And the answer is it just makes a bigger lake in front of that house. The lake gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't matter how much water you put down that river. It just accumulates a bigger and bigger lake in front of the house because of the fear in the heart of that family. We're not going to have enough water. We need to store. We need to keep water. So the perception of water in this first family is you never have enough. You have to be very careful with water. The purpose of water is for you to consume it, and then you need to save it to make sure that you have enough of it. So that's the purpose of water, is for me to consume, and then I save it so that I'll have enough for the future. Now, along the second river is a different family. They have a different perception of water. Their perception is there's usually about enough water for us to use, and we're not greatly afraid that we're not going to have enough. But the purpose of water in the mind of this family is to consume. So we're supposed to just use the water. Whatever water is available, we use it all. And so water that comes down that river, this family uses 100% of it, and virtually no water goes past their house. They use all the water. None goes on down the river to be used by anybody else. It all stops at their house. And what happens if you put additional water down this river? Well, they find new uses for water because that's their perception of water. The purpose of water is for us to use. So if the guy up in the snowfield who governs how much water comes down each river decides to put more water down the second river, the family finds new uses. So when more water comes, they plant a lot of grass and put in a sprinkler system to water the lawn all around their property. And if you put more water down the second river, they build a swimming pool. If you put more water down the second river, they build a bigger swimming pool. And if you put still more water down that river, they build an entire water park for their children. It doesn't matter how much water you put down that river, they're going to use it all. Now, hopefully you can see that in the first and second river, there is great frustration up in the snowfield. If the purpose of the guy in the snowfield is to get water out to be used by various people, that is not going to happen in either the first or the second river. All the water in the first river just accumulates in a lake in front of that family's house, and all the water in the second river is 100% consumed by the people that live there. But in the third river, or along the third river, is a third family, and they have a totally different perception of water. Their perception of water is, there is such an abundance of water up in the snowfield that we could never use all the water that we have. And so our goal is to just limit the amount of water we use and get as much water as we can out to other people who can use that water. So these people on the third river make a decision that people on the first and second river don't make. And they answer a question that people on the first and second river don't answer. And that question is this: how much water is enough for our consumption? They answer that in writing. They determine we only need this much water. Now when more water comes down the river, they don't consume it. They just let it go on down the river to be used by others. And because their perception of water is there is such a huge abundance of water up in the snowfield, they actually get a vision to dig a canal out to another village that doesn't live near a river. So they build a canal and channel water out to this other village. And then they build another canal to channel water out to another village. And they have a vision in the next year to channel more water out through three new canals to three different villages that don't live near a river, because they perceive it doesn't matter how much water we use, there's so much water that's coming down from the snowfield, so much water up above, we could never use it all. So they just channel water out to this village, that village, and they continue building channels of water, building canals, so that other people can use water. Now, if you were the person in the snowfield, and you make the decision which river do you put water down, which one would you put the most water down? And I think most of us would choose the obvious answer, the Third River. Why? Because it is where water can do the most good and get out to the most people. And I think God chooses exactly the same. Now, how much water would you put down the First River? My answer would be just enough for that family, because we care for them. We want them to be okay. And the same in the Second River, just enough for that family. But they don't. The First River family doesn't need a huge lake in front of their house. And the Second River family doesn't need an ever-expanding water system of water parks around their house. And so we see a difference between the thinking in the First River, Second River, and Third River. And if you were honest, if you asked this question, which river do I actually live on? I think most of us listening to the broadcast today would say, well, I certainly want to live on a Third River. But if we were honest, most of us live on a First or Second River. How do you get from the First or Second River to the Third River? And that's exactly what we cover in the seminar, Financial Foundations. And I really encourage you to attend one of our Family Foundations International seminars called Financial Foundations. They're going on all over in different churches, and Pastor Bruce is hosting those, or is conducting those seminars hosted by various local churches. If you'd like to have that seminar, Financial Foundations, at your church, please contact Pastor Bruce. And the website is www.heartsatliberty.com. And Pastor Bruce, you'd love to come and do one of those financial seminars for people, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. What a wonderful teaching in order to get a closed circle about you, so that as your ability to bring the streams into your life to be able to give out more into God's kingdom and still care for blessing the generations beyond and caring for your generations. It's a great seminar.
You know, one of the cool things you just mentioned, the concept of blessing generations, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, tells us a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And many years ago, about 15 years ago when I read that, I thought, well, Lord, I would like to be a good man, but I'm still in debt. How on earth would I leave an inheritance to my children's children? I can't even pay for the stuff that I have now. And, you know, God began to give me a vision. And I love the title of your show, Dare to Dream, because dreams imply that you get a vision that's bigger than yourself, something that you could not possibly fulfill without the power of God doing something supernatural. And we got a vision to eliminate and pay off all our debts. This was way back in year 2000. Jan and I got a vision to pay off all our debt. And we had no idea how that was going to happen. But God gave us a vision and a plan. And then furthermore, to leave an inheritance to our children's children to qualify ourselves to be a good man and a good woman, as Proverbs 13, verse 22 says. And as we looked at that, I had no idea how to do that. We had a mortgage on our house. And it looked like, when I just ran an Excel spreadsheet, it would take probably 10 to 12 years to pay off our mortgage. But, you know, when we got a vision, I discovered another principle. When you begin to do natural things, God begins to do supernatural things. And we moved, honestly, from the Second River to the Third River, and our mortgage was paid off in just 3 years. And people say, well, how did that happen? Well, God gave us a plan. We began to follow the plan. And as we did natural things, God did supernatural things. And our last debt, which was our house mortgage, was paid off in 3 years. And God showed us how it was that we could leave an inheritance to our children's children. And again, I cover all that in the seminar, Financial Foundations. And I know God is no respecter of persons. What he did for us, he's willing to do for anybody. But I find many, many people these days are in bondage to lots and lots of debt. Debt is just a major factor that causes commotion and conflicts in marriage. Debt causes lots of stress and pressure in people's lives. And many people just don't know how on earth can they get out of debt. But, you know, when we made a decision back in year 2000, God, we need a way to get out of debt. We took natural steps. God took supernatural steps. And we have a very specific plan in that seminar, Financial Foundations, to help people get out of debt, especially in this time where there's global shaking coming. It's critical to learn how to rapidly eliminate debt and how to leave an inheritance to our children's children. And that was something that that God just showed me. He also showed me another part of Proverbs 13:22. It says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And I just wondered, I understand that we are righteous in Christ, but I wondered regarding money, who does the Bible call wicked and who does the Bible call righteous? And the Lord led me to Psalm 37, verse 21, and it says, the wicked borrows and does not repay. The righteous shows mercy and gives. And I thought, oh, Lord, there are many, many people in this coming financial shaking that are going to struggle to repay their debt and might be found on the wrong side of that wealth transfer equation. How do we get to the third river? How do we get to the place where we have no debt? How do we get to the place where we can begin digging financial canals, as it were, out to help other people and to bless other people? And that is exactly what we're covering in the Financial Foundations seminar. And we have so many testimonies, Pastor Bruce, from all over the world of people that are sharing with us the incredible things that God has done in their lives. When they do natural things, God does supernatural things. So again, I just encourage you to go to www.heartatliberty.com. Find out how you can attend a Financial Foundations seminar.
Thank you, Craig. Such a powerful seminar, Biblical Principles of Finance. It's a Thursday and Friday, Saturday night, or Saturday day event. And it really gets into some deep study, and we might be able to share that a little bit more even in this broadcast of what the seminar is about. But before we go there, there's a gentleman that was a mayor in New York City, and he was the 47th mayor of New York, and he was in office from March of 19002 to March of 1971. His name was Thomas Edward Dewey. And Thomas Edmund Dewey, he was really advocating wise steward of the money. He said, we need to do a pay-as-you-go policy in our government. Back in 1860, the borough fathers decreed a new road for what is now the Central Avenue in the Bronx. It was to be the latest thing, a plank road. Fathers sold bonds for that plank road at 7% interest. That plank road rotted away, and Central Avenue has been paved, probably been paved several times since then. Today, decades after the plank road is forgotten, the city of New York and the people are still paying 7% interest on these bonds. And it will continue to pay 7% interest until the bonds are retired in the year 2147. Now, somebody dared to dream. Somebody set sights into the future and what they wanted to accomplish, but did not take into consideration the actual costs involved. That plank road originally cost $390,000. But when the last bond is retired, it will have cost the people $3 million. Now, when we start setting aside time and talent and treasure in our own lives, we need to think about the cost. We need to think about how God wants us to use our money. There's several reasons and biblical reasons for use of money. The first is bread for food. And that is what the founding fathers over there in New York City were wanting to accomplish by putting the plank road in. They wanted to get a stable economy and transportation for the people. And sort of like what our budget would be calling bread for food. But they didn't think out the cost to the nation or to the city of New York. For us, we need to be very careful and how much consumption do we really need to have for our bread for food? In budgeting, I would lay before you that when we can get a closed circle and we start living within that closed circle, God's going to provide that third river in order for us to invest in other people's lives because he knows he can trust us to have that closed circle. I don't know where you are in your budgeting. I know for many of us, and me included, debt tends to drive what I have to do. And when we can come out of debt, we can find ourselves free to really invest in other people. God says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we have found that he abounds in wisdom and prudence to us. Verse 18 says that the eyes of our understanding could be opened. And I pray that for each of us in our finances so that we can see what God is accomplishing. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says that there are people walking around with a blind heart, moved past feeling, and given to self-effort and to the greediness of themselves. I know many of us, when we see somebody that's begging alongside the road and hurting so bad, our heart opens up, but then we have to decide, can we give money there? We already give it through our church. We already give it to our fire departments. We already go through community services. And how much more can we really give? And it's our debt that's stealing us from being able to give. I pray that our hearts do not turn blind and that we don't turn into greediness as we set our goals and our plans for the future and have to become like the New York City and paying $3 million for a $380,000 investment. Romans 2:4 says, according to the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, his goodness, it leads people to repentance. If we can be involved in what God's doing through his forbearance and his forgiving, his goodness, it's going to be because our finances are in order. And I pray that we can bring that into order as we move forward. Our King has need of us, his plans, his goals, his good pleasure. I pray that we can come in line with that as we seek to apply good financial principles to our lives and the use of our money according to what he's called for it. There's other uses, but we'll get into that next week as we think through that. I pray now that as we come to a close for today's study, that Holy Spirit will give you great joy in bringing finances under the authority of God's word, bring you great joy as you set forward your goals and plans, that you'll begin to dream dreams and see your pathway of objective goals set out before you so that you can move in what God's calling you to move in. It's a joy to watch Holy Spirit work in my life. And as a pastor, as one of the pastors at Hopewell Community Church in Pottstown, it's a joy to invest in the lives of the members there at the church. And I know that you, as you invest your lives in the body of believers that you all attend, to be letting iron sharpen iron. And as God gives you your vision, that you'll be able to invest your life, time, talent, and treasure for the glory of his pleasure. And it's a joy to understand what God is accomplishing. I pray that you're able to move like Elijah on the mountaintop, challenging the priest that your God can accomplish great things while the priest's God was not doing anything. And I'm referring to the altar that he had water poured over and then had God light it up when the priests were trying to get their gods to light up the altar. Now, in Elijah's life, he ran off and got into a pity party. And I know we go from cycle of great battles into pities, but I pray that your great battles will lead you on into the joy and the hope of tomorrow. Because God's plan for tomorrow is that his name be made great. May the glory of the Father compel us. May the love of the Father compel us to his riches, to his glory, to his honor, to the name of Jesus Christ and his praise. In Jesus' name, amen.